Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
High above the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now, at this moment, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A Portland woman gives birth to identical triplets. An ex-cop is cleared after being wrongly accused of molestation. And the First World War is finally over.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Thursday, September 30th, 2010. A North Portland woman has given birth to rare, spontaneous, identical triplet boys. Janet Pitzenbarger is the proud new mom after a pregnancy that was literally against all odds. Spontaneous identical triplets means they are conceived without any fertility drugs. According to doctors, the chance of that happening are 1 in 100,000. Born at 10:35 p.m. by C-section, in birth order were Caleb at 4 pounds 5 ounces, Eli at 4 pounds 1 ounce, and Thomas at 4 pounds 6 ounce.
So this is one of those things where she jammed herself full of fertility drugs or something.
No, it's not. This is, you weren't listening, were you?
I was, because you said they were naturally occurring, but I don't really know what that means. And you said without the aid of fertility.
Right.
But I don't. But again, is that a thing? Fertility means, when they talk about fertility treatments, there's drugs, and then there's implanting of stuff, and then there's artificial insemination. So I have no idea what. I have no idea what science is even capable of these days.
These are natural identical triplets. There were no fertility drugs involved in this at all.
None. Zero.
No, this is why it is so spectacularly interesting.
So this is just where she and the dad get it on, and then out come three when he was expecting one.
Exactly.
So he's having a bit of a day.
And they're identical.
Also, the last name is Pitzenbarger, which I feel like I'm sort of obligated to mention. So,
They must be related somehow. I mean,
yeah. So people who are sort of longtime listeners of the Rick Emerson Show or of the show called Fuel that was on CBS Radio for a while are probably familiar with a guy named Dennis Pitzenbarger, who also used to write for Willamette Week. And so now
he wrote for the Portland Tribune as well, or instead.
Is that a newspaper?
Yes.
Yes. I think when I met him, he was working for the Willamette. Then he transitioned as the. I think he works at places until like just the absolute moment where everybody in the joint is like sick of him and they're about ready to give him the axe, and then he magically just transmogrifies into his next phase of life. Anyway, so he's sort of a longtime friend of the show, and that can be a very common name.
No.
I mean, not in Portland anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, there must be some relation between Janet's husband Phil Pitzenbarger and our own Dennis Pitzenbarger.
Phil is just the perfect name for a guy with the last name of Pitzenbarger, too. I mean, because Dennis is sort of a rough around the edges, gruff kind of guy in some ways. And it seems like if he was going to have a brother, you know, or some sort of relative, that Phil is the perfect name for them.
All right. Well, the babies are doing well. They didn't need any oxygen or breathing assistance. They are in ICU, which is standard procedure for babies born at only 34 weeks. And I would just personally like to give them
props.
For giving their children relatively normal names.
I was actually, see, it's funny you say the name thing, because I was actually going to say that I think the whole biblical name thing is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Names that come from the Bible just have a certain ring to them, a certain kind of gravitas that you're just not going to get by naming your goddamn kid Cody.
Yeah.
You know?
Or it's just some weird made-up name like Tyler with like a U and an umlaut or something.
The well, it's, you know, it's like our friend Jason Crump is like that, where he's got the weird J-A-Y-E-S-U-N-N.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's not like there's anything wrong with that as such. It just becomes one of those things where I wonder by the time... And again, it's not like there's anything, you know, names are, I guess all names are fundamentally made up, so what do I care? But you wonder by the time Jason Crump prepares to shuffle off his mortal coil many, many decades from now, how many years of his life he will have spent correcting people on the spelling of his name. I mean, it's like the Halloween tree. He's probably given up a year of his life for that. Where he's just, no, it's with a Y, no, and a U, and two N's, and a Q in the middle of it, you know, or whatever. So, anyway. At least just not another kid named Skyler. That's all I care about.
A former Vancouver police officer who spent 20 years behind bars, wrongfully accused of molesting, now has his name and his record cleared. When a judge dismissed the case against Clyde Ray Spencer Wednesday morning, cheers rang out in the courtroom. Spencer had been sentenced to more than 200 years in prison back in 1985 when his former wife accused him of abusing their children. Two of the three children were in the courtroom Wednesday and celebrated their father's release. The children have recanted their testimony against their father and claimed that investigators rewarded them for their initial stories.
Okay, so this, I remember seeing this story about a year and a half ago, where the kids had actually said, they had been misrepresented, or that, you know, that they had accused the dad, but they said that it was sort of,
yeah,
not beaten out of them, but it was sort of misconstrued. They were either manipulated into giving the testimony.
Where did he touch you? He didn't. Where did? I'll give you a cookie if you show us where you. Okay, he touched me there. Give me the cookie.
And the, yeah, so the, and then they themselves had actually renounced it, but it wasn't good enough, and the guy was still sitting there in prison, even though the actual kids who had accused him had said, no, it didn't really happen. And it was one of those things where everybody in the chain of the system sort of acknowledged that the guy had been railroaded, and yet he just sat there for like another, you know, 2 years or whatever.
Well, yeah, he's been working to clear his name, including getting hidden medical records and videotapes that were in the garage of one of the investigating police officers who had allegedly developed a sexual relationship with the guy's wife who was accusing him.
That's hard to believe.
So, but yes, now the charges have been dropped. He says he actually plans to apply for his clinical psychology license after he finishes up his PhD.
All right, then. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Don't forget, it's available via iTunes as well later on in the day, or as a direct download here at PDX.FM as an MP3 file developed in Germany, the land of efficiency.
Is that where the MP3 comes from?
Yes. It was developed. I used to know the name of the guy who actually created the MP3 format. You know, and then I realized that impresses, like, no one.
What does the M and the P stand for?
I don't know. It's some long thing with, you know, it's with a bunch of sounds. And it's a whole language based on phlegm. Anyway,
We're not going to be getting a German language sponsor anytime soon, are we?
Probably not. The thing is, when you learn German, it's really not by choice. That's usually a thing where you're not really given any options there. You learn German at the end of a gun, let's be honest. And all you really need to, you know, to learn is, like, can you hide me? Anywho, you're listening to Legion of News, and you can download that MP3 file later on in the day from PDX.FM right here, or from LegionofNews.com, and again, available via iTunes and so forth. This is Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
Fans of actor Tony Curtis are mourning his death and remembering him fondly from the more than 100 films he acted in during his career.
Just now, you're going to get to the thing where they have some sound from him, but I'm curious, when did this, because I saw it this morning, but did this happen last night? I mean, did the news of this actually come out last night? Do we know?
I had the story actually myself printed out, and then I may have put it aside. Ah, here we go.
I mean, not that it really matters. I'm just wondering if it's one of those, you know, how where we are in the news cycle on this, because it's a big deal. I mean, he's, you know, it's not like Tony Curtis really doing a lot of acting in recent years or something. But I mean,
I'm really not sure. One of the pieces I have said that a representative for Jamie Lee Curtis confirmed his death to Entertainment Tonight, and then ABC News also reported. I'm not sure precisely when he died, but the news did come out this morning.
Right.
So I'm assuming it was last night or this morning. He was 85 years old. In 2009, Curtis spoke at the Hotel Del Coronado, where the movie Some Like It Hot was filmed. Curtis talked about his film career.
Let's see, that's...
From day one, I had hoped all my pictures would have a quality.
Hold a second, I have to... It's like the Zapruder film of Curtis cuts. Hold on a second.
God.
From day one, I had hoped all my pictures would have a quality and a style, because that's the way I saw it in my head.
Tony Curtis there, recorded via microphone by a guy in a passing SUV at a red light while a plane flew overhead and somebody did laundry 5 feet away.
Let's hold on to those other two cuts until later.
No, these are fantastic. Hold on, I'm going to play this again. This is
from day one, I had hoped all my pictures would have a quality and a style, because that's the way I saw it in my head.
I'm fairly certain you can hear somebody ordering lunch if you listen really closely to that.
He had me almost to the end. As I, from day one, I hoped my pictures would have a quality and a style. And I swear to God, he says, because that's the way I shortened my hair.
From day one, I had hoped all my pictures would have a quality and a style, because that's the way I shortened in my hair.
Yes, at this point, we are only hopeful that the regulators will give us some clarity about the expectations, and then we can plan on that basis.
No, it's true. That's it's something we can all hope for.
Well, Curtis was nominated for an Academy Award for his role in The Defiant Ones with Sidney Poitier, but was best remembered as Marilyn Monroe's cross-dressing paramour in Billy Wilder's Some Like It Hot. He also wrote an autobiography, a memoir, a few years ago. In which he acknowledged he may have been addicted to sex. He said, I realized if I could mount a girl, and that sounds very cruel and very bestial, but examine it for what it is, a woman has accepted me. The main force in me was to be accepted by others. Not education, not money in my pocket, nothing except to be accepted by a girl.
It really wasn't even accepting him. It was just sort of, will you accept my penis?
Yeah.
And then if she said yes, then it's like, you know, then it was all...
From day one, I had hoped all my pictures would have a quality and a style, because that's the way I saw it in my head.
I love that soundbite. And it's sort of the gold standard for gruff delivery at this point in time is Jack Klugman, who I used to... And I used to have some soundbites of Jack Klugman that I think I actually deleted because after a while they became horrifying to listen to because it just sounded like chunks of his inner... Like the inner mucus lining of his larynx were just sort of coming off and flying at you while he spoke. Uh-huh. But I think he actually had his larynx removed. Tony Curtis is just like 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
How old was he?
85, was it?
You know, and let's be honest. I mean, if you were Tony Curtis, I mean, probably you went through a phase in your life, and that phase was about 40 years long, when every woman you met wanted to shtup you. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, why not?
He had a three-year affair with Marilyn Monroe early on.
Hey.
You know, his first wife was Janet Leigh. I mean, he certainly... Yeah, and he was pretty.
Oh,
he
yeah.
was really pretty.
Well, then, yeah, not
and funny and charming.
Well, the thing about Tony Curtis is he had that sort of little bit of the Cary Grant thing where he was handsome and pretty at the same time, which is difficult to do because
yeah.
you get a guy like Robert Mitchum, handsome, not a pretty man.
No.
And then you get I'm trying to think of somebody who's pretty but not handsome.
Jude Law.
Then I was going to say Leonardo DiCaprio. Pretty. Not really handsome, though.
Yeah.
Looks too boyish.
He's kind of pudding faced now, but
yeah.
when he was younger, he was kind of.
But Jude Law, totally, very much. Tony Curtis, though, he had the...
Zac Efron.
Both sides of the equation there. And, I mean, to go from Janet Leigh to, effectively, to Marilyn Monroe, with many stops in between, I would imagine.
Mm.
I mean, Janet Leigh, who's just, like, the hottest thing. Really, if there was some magical... time sex portal invented, which there will be someday, that would allow you to, you know, to they ought to make, you know, in the future, in the Japanese have probably got this right now, you know, something where you can, it's like a theme park where you can just go and simulate banging some Hollywood starlet of your choice from some era. And I'm saying for me, Janet Leigh.
Okay.
No doubt. It is hands down. Not even, I don't even think there's a close second there. Maybe like Barbara Eden in her prime, but I'm saying Janet Leigh.
You know, you never told me, by the way, who the oldest woman was that you would have sex with.
That is Barbara Eden.
Oh, okay.
That's why, you know, the thing about, because Janet Leigh's dead, isn't she?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, I feel so bad if she's not. Typically, I don't feel bad about mistaking people for being dead. But with Janet Leigh, I feel...
I'm pretty sure.
Because of her recent loss and
yes.
so forth. No, Barbara Eden of I Dream of Jeannie fame is, I think, 82? 81, but I saw it one of those, this is like one of the Friars Club roasts or something a while back, and I think Gottfried actually made some of the same of you. Yeah, I would still have sex with you, or something. And the thing is, I had beaten him to the punch just years before because I'd seen her interviewed on like Larry King or something, and she's just still very attractive, I would say. And I don't think it was just makeup. A little bit of surgery, a little bit of clean living. Also, here, final thing I'm going to say about this, Dawn Wells from Gilligan's Island.
She's
legitimately still very pretty. I wouldn't say she's hot in the traditional sense, but she never really was. She was always more pretty and sort of, she was fetching is what she was. So, there you go. Tony, one of our greatest actors has died, and immediately I've just taken it as a chance to talk about how much I want to have sex with Janet Leigh, who's dead, by the way.
You're a class actor, Gunnarsson.
You know, here's the thing. It's just like, when I was about 9 years old, I saw Psycho, and there's just that sequence of her sitting on a bed, and I wasn't conscious of the differentiation at the time, but the fact that Hitchcock put her in a black bra, not a white bra, because she was a villainess. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying.
Well, I actually was quite in love with Tony Curtis when I was very young. When I was like about 9 years old or something, I watched a lot of old movies on TV with my mom, and I went through this period of just, I was so in love with Tony Curtis. And I told my mother in that way that you do when you're 8 or 9 years old, when I grow up, I'm going to marry Tony Curtis. And then my mother had to explain to me that, like, okay, he was like already 30 when this movie was made, and it was like 20 years old. So in like another, like, you know, 10 to 15 years when I would actually be of legal age, he would be, you know, however old.
Yeah, but that matters less for you, I would imagine.
But it was a little sad. But again, like at the age of 9, it was like, oh.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. But it's your woman, I think women view the age thing differently. You still would have married him.
Well, no, not really, because by the time I got, you know, to the point where I was thinking about marrying people, he was already turning into Tony Curtis.
I just like to mount girls.
Yeah.
I know that sounds crude.
Yeah.
Please forgive me.
From day one, I had hoped all my pictures would have a quality and a style, because that's the way I shortened my hair.
Now I'm hearing that's how I shortened my hair. Tony Curtis talks about shortening his hair and how he envisioned that today on Legion of News. Here's Don Taylor.
The First World War will officially end on Sunday, 92 years after the guns fell silent, when Germany pays off the last chunk of reparations imposed on it by the Allies.
Wasn't I just joking about Germany just moments ago?
You were.
Okay.
The final payment of £59.5 million writes off the crippling debt that was the price for one world war and laid the foundations for another. Germany was forced to pay the reparations by the Treaty of Versailles in 1919 as compensation to the war-ravaged nations of Belgium and France, and to pay the Allies some of the costs of waging what was then the bloodiest conflict in history, leaving nearly 10 million soldiers dead. The initial sum agreed upon for war damages in 1919 was 226 billion Reichsmarks, a sum later reduced to 132 billion, or 22 billion pounds at the time. The bill would have been settled much earlier if Adolf Hitler hadn't reneged on reparations when he was in office.
Who could have seen that coming? And then Hitler borrowed money from us and he didn't pay it back.
You know, the more I hear about this Hitler fellow, the more I think he was just a bastard.
He never pays his bills on time. What's his name? Hitler? All right. There you go. Never mind. I was just going to make more Hitler money borrowing jokes. And I, you know, and then there's a money lender joke in there somewhere that I just, you know, that's okay. Just the low hanging fruit. I'm not going to go after that.
A teenager accused in a Beaverton burglary was arrested after neighbors tackled him and held him to the ground until police arrived. Randy Krause told police he noticed a motion-activated floodlight come on outside his home on Southwest 7th Street at about 12:30 a.m. Wednesday, and saw a man, later identified by police as William Parent, walking from his garage with a fishing pole and 50 feet of boating rope. "I came out the door and said, 'Dude, you got my stuff,' Krause said. He kept walking." Krause then decided to confront Parent, who ignored his orders to stop. The homeowner said he put the 19-year-old in a headlock to temporarily hold him. "He struggled at first," Krause said. "He wanted us to let him go." When police arrested Parent, they said they found items belonging to the homeowner and a vehicle Parent had broken into earlier. The owner of the car said only several pairs of rubber gloves were taken. Parent was wearing a pair of these gloves when he broke into the garage.
Wait, so he broke into one car for the sole purpose of stealing rubber gloves that were in the car so that he could then burgle this guy's garage.
And steal a fishing pole and 50 feet of rope. Parent was taken to the Washington County Jail on suspicion of burglary giving false information to a police officer, and unlawful entry of a motor vehicle.
Is this?
There's a great. He's a great looking dirtbag. He really is.
Is this his face is too small for his head, first of all, and he's trying to mask that by growing this hair, but he's not really doing the job.
The long dirtbag rock and roll hair thing going on too.
And he's fundamentally chinless. I mean, there's just no chin on this guy at all. So, but is this some like scavenger hunt meets Rube Goldberg meets felonious intent kind of a thing where he steals the gloves from one car to steal a fishing pole? And then it's like, I picture sort of in my imagination him using the fishing pole and the rope to dangle something off a building, like a fishing hook where he's like grabbing a guy's wallet out of it as he walks by, like a Warner Brothers cartoon or something.
And then he takes the money in the wallet.
Yeah.
And he, yeah.
All right. I got those, motion activated lights outside my house, which is sort of great, except now. We've reached some. I don't know how they detect a certain kind of light. Like if it's in other words, if they can differentiate sunlight from, because they don't run day and night. Like during the day, they don't go on. So I don't know if that's a thing where they differentiate sunlight from regular light. But
well, are yours solar powered or are they electric?
I have no idea. Hmm. I mean, I that's a good question. I don't know because they were there. I mean, they were when we moved in. So. Anyway, so they don't go on during the day, but I don't know exactly what it is that triggers them and what kind of light they are sensitive to. All I know is that we have reached the point that happens every year where they just seem to go on all the time. So every fall they become, there's like about a 2-week period where they become really hypersensitive and they just get triggered by like everything, or by the vast amount of spiders that are now living in front of my house, which I think are large enough that they're kicking the things on. And then it's like, you know, the lights go on and then the dogs go crazy and it's, you know.
I think it's that one big spider. He's doing it on purpose to screw with you.
He really is. He really is. Here's Don Taylor, ladies and gentlefolk, at the Legion of News News Desk.
Let's do some science.
Here's Science on the March for this Thursday, right here at Legion of News via PDX.fm.
So much science news. At an unusual press conference recently held in Washington, D.C., a UFO author and a half dozen or so former U.S. military airmen asserted that the U.S. Air Force is lying about the national security implications of unidentified aerial objects at nuclear bases, and we can prove it, they said. They claim that since 1948, extraterrestrials in spaceships have not only been visiting Earth, but hovering over British and American nuclear missile sites and temporarily deactivating the weapons.
I like how they have to note that they're extraterrestrials in spaceships,
yes,
as opposed to like an Edsel.
UFO author Robert Hastings, who organized the news conference, said, "I believe, and these gentlemen believe, that this planet is being visited by beings from another world who, for whatever reason, have taken an interest in the nuclear arms race." Hastings claims that a global conspiracy exists in which all major governments have been covering up evidence of UFOs for decades. Despite claims that the airmen were breaking their silence, there was very little new information presented at the press conference. In fact, many of the UFO reports they cited dated back 30 or 40 years, and it appeared in magazine articles, books, and websites. Instead of any new evidence or real proof, they offered merely a rehashing of old discredited reports that didn't yield any significant evidence. So, their revelations raised more questions than they answered. For example, if extraterrestrial intelligences have been watching over humanity and are so concerned about nuclear weapons, why didn't they prevent the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Preventing those bombs from exploding could have been a much more effective way to head off a nuclear arms race. So,
God bless the UFO community for providing us entertainment and amusement all these many years. But they're like, like, these UFO guys that put out the, they have press conferences and they put out books and they put out, and the books always have things like Roswell, the final word. it's like getting the same version of the Boogie Nights DVD 3 or 4 or 5 times in a row because, New Line keeps re-releasing, and it's just the same, extras put in a slightly different order. That's all there is. There is no new material.
Yeah. I really don't have any problem believing that there are extraterrestrials visiting. Maybe the government's covering it up. But honestly, if you're going to come out and start talking about it again, bring me something new.
Yeah.
Let's come up with something new.
You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.fm.
Astronomers say they have for the first time spotted a planet beyond our own in what is sometimes called the Goldilocks zone for life. Not too hot, not too cold, not too far from its star or too close, so it could contain liquid water. The planet itself is neither too big nor too small for the proper surface gravity and atmosphere. It is just right, just like Earth. The new planet sits smack in the middle of what astronomers refer to as a habitable zone, unlike any of the nearly 500 other planets astronomers have found outside our solar system. the other 500 planets. You're not going to play it?
I'm sorry?
William Barecki.
Oh, no, that's it's too obvious
planets.
Now. This is just what they'd be expecting us to do, Dawn.
And it is in our galactic neighborhood, suggesting that plenty of Earth-like planets circle other stars. Finding a planet that could potentially support life is a major step toward answering the timeless question, are we alone? According to those UFO guys, no, we are not. Scientists here are saying, you know, who knows? Penn State University's Dim Casting says that this is the first one of these planets I'm truly excited about. He said this planet is a pretty prime candidate for harboring life. Of course, it's unknown whether water actually exists on the planet, what kind of atmosphere it has, and it's also 120 trillion miles away. So it would take several generations to get a spaceship there.
Yeah, well, that's the I'm all for the exciting, the exciting discovery of new things and plunging out, into the realms of, the previously unknown and whatever. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you find. Like, we can never go there. Yeah. I mean, that's the deal. Like, I remember when I was
until
a kid.
Until we discovered the Stargate.
It's like, when they would, you were a kid, they'd show you the thing of the satellite, or you'd make that thing with, like, Nerf balls or whatever, and, like, tennis balls where you'd hang it up in the garage. You'd go, and this is Venus, our sister planet. And they were always, the scale was always that they were, like, about 6 or 8 inches apart, from each other. When in reality, I saw something the other day. There was something on the Discovery Channel about this, where they were saying that if you were to have something that was truly to scale, like if you were like, no matter how small the actual items were, that like on our tabletop here, if you were to depict the universe with like a series of oranges, and if Earth was right here in the middle of this table, then like Venus would be in Beaverton. I mean, you just
that makes sense.
Like, even if you were just using like tennis balls for it, because that's the actual scale. And so the upshot of the program was the guy basically ended by saying, so no matter what we discover or what we find, we can never visit it or go there ever unless we can exceed the speed of light, which we can't. So we'll never see anything. The end. And then they ran the credits, and it was sort of like satisfying because I'd learned something. But then it was sort of depressing because he basically just said, you are marooned on your own miserable planet forever, Rick Emerson.
I get people sending me UFO literature and things
please.
About tractor beams and stuff. In the
Stop. Just don't.
Scientists are reporting progress with a method of creating stem cells without using embryos. The advance in
Where's
cell...
the fun in that?
The advance in cell reprogramming. Well, this way robots can do it, Rick. Robots.
Fine.
The robots with their fake ovaries and their robot skin.
You realize it just sounded like gibberish right there, right?
The advance in cell reprogramming by researchers in
Boston. Cell reprogramming?
Cell reprogramming.
Oh, okay. Why does celery need to be programmed?
That's the next story. By researchers in Boston, is praised as a more efficient way of turning skin cells into stem cells, a step toward developing new medical treatments. One expert said the new approach might be the first practical way to make such cells for creating new tissue to treat conditions like diabetes and Parkinson's disease.
It seems like on the one hand, we can't all be for not only screwing around with stem cells, which, nature sort of seems kind of bent on keeping closed to us. So we're not only cracking those open, which I don't care about, by the way. Keep in mind, I don't have any issue with this. But so we're cracking open stem cells, and when that doesn't work, or when we find some sort of, political downside to it, we then find some artificial way to bust open stem cells, and yet they don't want us changing like the way we grow carrots in the field, because that's dangerous. You can't alter the chromosomes like in peas. Seems like you got to be opposed to either all of those things or none of those things. If I can't go growing squash in a different way because it might be tricky, maybe you don't want to be, like just jamming things into stem cells willy-nilly to see if they work.
I'm in favor of all of it.
That's my thing, too. I don't care. Have at it.
All of it.
Because, any long-term ramifications that aren't going to affect me anyway, and I don't have kids, so F it. Doesn't matter to me. It won't affect me or anybody I care about, and that's all that matters.
That's all the science.
There's your science on the march for Thursday right here at Legion of News. And just because it doesn't feel quite complete otherwise, I'll just...
I think the biggest thing, of course, is the fact that we find so many candidates. We have over 700. We believe about half of those will probably turn out to be planets. We need to look through these candidates with ground-based telescopes and find out which are really planets and which aren't.
So there you go. Mr. William Boraki.
Senso Cheryl was trying to get us an interview with him, but I don't know whatever happened.
Well, he's
with
a busy man. Especially now with the discovery of the one of the planets in the 500 Lurking, which. And the great thing about this month is all of these stories, they all relate to this Bryson book I'm reading because he just talked about the Goldilocks. One of the recurring things throughout this book is that you realize that scientists actually refer to things as... scientists have a lot of really odd, strange, and sometimes just dumb-sounding names for things. There's a thing that has to do with formation of crystals in the Earth's early, stages. There's the thing about the sun appearing and the way that it interacted with chemicals on the Earth or whatever. And I swear to God, the scientists referred to it as the Chinese restaurant scenario because there was a dim sun.
Oh, dear Lord.
And the book is just replete with those. And it's like everywhere he goes, he'll travel around the world and just interviews like the smartest guys on the planet, and he finds that that's what they refer to stuff as. They don't say it like in school. They never teach you that. That scientists are just guys with bad haircuts and worse puns who sit at home watching Fawlty Towers reruns, apparently, when they're not, when they're not discovering the origins of life. This is all brought to you by a fine series of business partners here at Legion of News on PDX.fm, including but not limited to Castalia Learning Center. If you are like me, if you like to learn stuff, you like to keep your brain in tip-top condition, one of the best ways you can do that is by learning a second language, or a third language, as the case may be. If you have not yet learned Spanish, you're going to find that it's a thing that is massively useful no matter where you go, and with every month, with every year, it's just going to become more and more so, and it's also a way to keep your brain in fighting trim, as they say. PortlandSpanish.com is the website for Castalia Language Center. Clara Grebel, who runs the Castalia Language Center, is a native Spanish speaker from Argentina. They limit class sizes to 8 people, and it's 8 adults, which means you're going to be learning at the same rate, the same way as the other folks in the class. You're going to get near individual attention, and whatever your previous experience level with Spanish and whatever your personal schedule, they're going to be able to find something that works for you. They get classes all different hours, all different days, beginning, intermediate, and advanced classes as well. So find out more by going to PortlandSpanish.com. She is a proud sponsor of Legion of News, and is Clara Grebel, the owner of Castalia Language Center. You can contact them at PortlandSpanish.com. Here's Don Taylor.
Meg Whitman, the billionaire Republican candidate for California governor, denied allegations yesterday that she knew for years that her housekeeper was an illegal immigrant from Mexico and that she ignored warnings from the government that her employee might have dubious legal status in the U.S. For a candidate who has called for tougher sanctions against employers who hire illegal workers, the allegations, if proven, could undercut her credibility just weeks before Election Day and damage her image. She says she let Nikki Diaz-Santillan go after the housekeeper herself came clean about her immigration status. Whitman charges that Santillan is being manipulated by her attorney, Gloria Allred, who is representing the woman.
And who then flapped her black dragon-like wings and flew away into the night.
Who, this is sort of the thing Gloria Allred does. In every election, about 30 days out, she, does this kind of thing. And I feel badly for Nikki.
You don't feel badly, you feel bad, first of all. And Gloria Allred is one of those people who I just... people, specifically certain stripes of Christianity will embrace this this attitude toward God, that they love him and fear him. And that's kind of my thing with Gloria Allred. It would be wrong of me to say, first of all, have you seen her daughter?
No.
Whatever her name is, I forget her name. I want to say Laura Allred, but that might be wrong. First of all, Gloria Allred's daughter is like flat out scorchingly hot, which is not a thing that you would really... It's not a thing you would really imagine, because Gloria Allred seems like a singularly unpleasant person, and so that sort of affects the way that you see her.
But she was physically quite attractive when she was a younger woman.
And here's the thing, and I still find her kind of hot now sometimes when she's being especially evil in some way. When she's doing something that is just, this is just like off the charts, threatening or menacing or scurrilous. I gotta tell you right now, if I had really serious legal problems, the first person I would call would be Gloria Allred. It doesn't matter. I don't even care what it was for. It doesn't matter what sort of case it was, what sort of allegations. Gloria Allred, I feel like I ought to be saving money now just to have her on retainer, because she's a woman who gets things done.
And she does. And to be fair, I'm not saying that her allegations against Whitman are incorrect. But Whitman does have a track record of doing this sort of thing. She inserts herself into politics in this way, giving large amounts of money to specific candidates. And yeah, and getting involved in some high-profile case like this, you know, weeks before an election.
It's like, I just don't know where they... Like, there are times I can't even find my wife and I know where she works. Like, I'm calling the phone number and I'm leaving messages and nobody can seem to track her down. And yet anybody, Gloria Allred's sort of like the A-team, you know, of high-profile legal cases, because every time there's anybody in the news who has any sort of a grudge or a gripe or a grievance or a grouse, you just like, she just appears magically. Like, there's sort of a puff of, like, acrid smoke and just kind of... And then she just, like, is behind the podium, you know?
Well, I'm sure she also has a boiler room full of underpaid interns who are, like, just scouring the newspapers and such for possible cases for her to jump in on.
Chained to their desks like Korean animators.
Exactly. Whitman says the claims that she exploited, disrespected, and humiliated Nikki Diaz-Santillan are not true.
Who, you know, this is sort of the thing Gloria Allred does.
Oh, I'm sorry, wrong cut.
These allegations are completely untrue. They lack any merit whatsoever. This is truly a political smear on me, on my family.
Okay.
And ellipses, apparently. You're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show comes at 1 o'clock, featured again with the Snuffwatch. Well, that's, is that Tony Curtis?
Yeah, that's Tony Curtis.
Okay, so Snuffwatch coming up today, Job Watch coming up today, Monkey Watch coming up today. You just do that when Anna Griffin's going to be on the show, because you know then that I am obliged to make monkey noises in front of her.
I got a monkey story. It came up. I could have done it as a science story, and then I realized... No, it's a chance for me to hear Rick do his monkey voice.
All right, less science, more monkey. We will also have the top five today. I swear to Christ, top five songs with monkey in the title.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I really didn't know that.
I was going to wheel it out as a sort of exciting surprise, but I figured now I'll just tell you. So we have a monkey watch, also the monkey top five. These aren't songs about monkeys as such. Not necessarily. These are the top five songs with monkey in the title. We'll be doing that later on. Plus, columnist Anna Griffin from The Oregonian will be here. That's the Rick Emerson Show coming up at 1 o'clock. Here's Dawn Taylor.
A college student jumped to his death from a bridge a day after two fellow students filmed him having sex with a man in his room and broadcast it live on the internet. Two other students were arrested for allegedly placing a camera in the room and streaming the encounter. Psychologist Jeff Gardier says, in a generation where reality is the norm, common sense takes a back seat.
So desensitized to some of the drama that they see on television and other parts of the media. So now it really is about the Truman Show. It really is about reality.
Now, see, I hadn't even heard about this. And it seems like the sort of thing that would have been all over the news. Because there was the whole, the MySpace, I want to say Lori Peterson, that might be...
Well, it is today. I mean, this is something that really just broke today.
Well, the guy killed himself, what, today or last night or in the last day or so. But I mean, it sounds like the actual... It sounds like the actual incident itself, though, had been ongoing, like it had unspooled over a series of days or weeks, but maybe not.
And I don't... And to be honest, I don't think it's... an unusual enough occurrence that in itself would be newsworthy.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's at Rutgers, right?
But people are humiliating each other on the internet all of the time.
But the reason we're talking about this is not just because the guy killed himself. But I mean, it's an interesting story in that it's at Rutgers, so it's in a high profile location. It is a guy having sex with another guy, which in large sections of society is still considered very taboo and maybe not be, it might not be, might reveal aspects of his personality that were not known to others. And does it say, now did I hear this or is this, did I read this somewhere else and I'm conflating the two in my head? Does it say in their Facebook, does it mention Facebook as being, are they saying it's streamed live on Facebook somehow? Because I'm unclear how that would even work.
Well, his roommate, Darun Ravi, and another student, Molly Way, have been charged with invasion of privacy and could face up to 5 years in prison. They're accused of placing a camera in the room and streaming the images straight onto the internet. In a message posted on Twitter on September 19th, Robbie said, "Roommate asked for the room till midnight. I went into Molly's room and turned on my webcam. I saw him making out with a dude. Yay." And then apparently... I'm not sure how Facebook comes into this. I did read at some point there was Facebook was involved in this somewhere. Or that was his, it was his final message. He left, the student himself, the guy who killed himself,
okay. Right.
Left a message on Facebook that read, "Jumping off the GW bridge, sorry." So his body hasn't been recovered, but his driver's license and university identification card were found in a wallet left on the bridge after two witnesses saw somebody jump.
It makes you wonder how, like, 10 years from now, how many virtual suicide notes have been left on things like Twitter and Facebook and, standing on bridge, looking down at icy water below, wondering about this sad facade called life. Send.
This psychologist fella says there may have been other things going on here.
So desensitized.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's see. Which cut is this? This is a...
Cyberbullying is a possibility here. Certainly, maybe this person who taped this or streamed it was a homophobe. Maybe he was just trying to play a prank. We don't really know what's going on with the two students who are involved.
Well, that's probably what, I mean, well, I don't know. I was just going to speculate, but the hell do I know? I mean, they're at college, so they're probably all drunk. And college is such a weird, insular kind of world anyway, I think, that you just lose, I think in any kind of closed society like that, you just lose all perspective on, like, what makes sense and what is, what doesn't make sense and what's appropriate and what's not. I was actually thinking about this because I saw something about this last night on CNN, I think, have a story on this. And I thought about that thing that Eric Schmidt from Google had said, where he was saying that he believes in the future that everybody ought to be granted. Like, if you're born in America, you ought to just be grandfathered in and granted one name change under the law. And he was only sort of half joking. It's the sort of thing he says that makes people wonder if Google is actually just not so secretly some massive evil behemoth of a company that is bent on world domination. Because he specifically cited Google. He said, because of Google and all of the things we cache and archive, it's like your entire life is going to be known, and so everybody's going to have at least one thing that'll make them want to change their name. And you think about the number of, like leaked, like, home sex videos and amateur sex videos and whatever that end up on the net, and those are videos that people, like, intentionally filmed, even if they didn't deliberately put them online, whereas this guy didn't even know he was being filmed.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. It really is just a strange, I mean, it's a strange time. It really is.
Paul Kellen, a professor of media law at Seton Hall University, says that this is a case where technology outran the law.
New Jersey is actually very advanced, though, having this invasion of privacy law. It makes it a criminal act to stream something like this over the internet. And these young adults who are charged, these other Rutgers students, could face up to 5 years in prison for having done this.
So it makes you wonder if he thought the guy was just going to be humping it out with some girl, and dudes being dudes thought, well, everybody'd like to see that. And then it's,
Or he just, more like, I don't know, he probably knew his roommate was gay, and it was just more a matter of, I'm just going to humiliate him because, it's funny. And didn't realize.
The whole thing about the guy posting the jumping off George Washington Bridge now, sorry, I don't know. It's really fascinating because you wonder how many people that went out to, and how many people saw it. And I'm not saying why didn't they do anything? What was their reaction? It does make you wonder how many people saw it though, and what the reaction was, or if anyone noticed it. And then as more and more people are online, and as more and more of everybody's thoughts are shared on the internet, if that's a thing that people will react to more or less as time goes on.
I don't know. It's because it's, on the one hand, I think that we have this tendency that we read someone saying something really grandiose like that, and we think that they must be exaggerating. On the other hand, I've had the situation where, like, I had a headache that would not go away for, like, 3 days at one point, and I mentioned it online. Like, it's like, I had this headache. It's like, Jesus Christ, I still have this headache, and I've had a headache for 3 days. And it was interesting to me how many people actually expressed genuine concern.
Right.
Like, you might have, like, a brain tumor. You should go to a doctor. Make sure that, like, you don't have a stroke or something. I don't know. And I was kind of like, no, I'm pretty sure it's just a sinus headache, but thank you. But it was interesting that, the genuine concern that I got from people, most of whom I had never actually met.
Well, and when you go through a certain, I mean, especially I think maybe in years adolescent, this thing is the most common where, I don't want to say you're drama queening, but I mean, you go through, I think, when you were going through adolescence, I think the chemicals in your brain are still sloshing around, to such a degree that you are given, I think, a little bit more to grandiose gestures. I mean, I've said that teenagers are sort of, it's just like being bipolar for a few years. And I think it's going to become like the car alarm, where the girl who would typically, the girl who would usually, you know, when in my day, you know, would have just written long, flowery, like gothic poetry to herself while sitting in a closet with like a bare, you know, red light bulb swinging back and forth. That's going to be the girl who goes online and says, you know, farewell, cruel existence. I'm ending it all today. And so,
yeah.
And then it's going to be like, it's going to be like a car alarm that nobody bothers to inspect within 5 or 6 years, because everybody will be, you know, will be doing it. Here at the Legion of News, we want to welcome a brand new business partner on PDX.fm. That is Squires Electric. You can find out more about them at SquiresElectric.com. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or your business, they can make your life easier, and they can make you less prone to embarrassing yourself in front of your friends and loved ones by, you know, because you don't want to be in all seriousness the you know, the Michael Keaton guy from, you know, the Making It All 220, where you're just where you're doing that thing of going to the hardware store and just buying a smattering of tools that you think are probably the right things for the job, and then you get home and you realize you're faced like looking into the cold hard reality of your soul and having to acknowledge you don't understand anything about this conglomeration of wires and cables and cords that's coming out of the fuse box in your basement. Here's the absolute proof of that. If you're anything like me, whenever like the lights go out or the power goes poof in one of the rooms in your house and you walk downstairs, you can't even remember what switch goes to what room. And so you're relying on like the faded ink from 1955 that is down there, like when they built the house. And it never actually just says, like, you know, like kitchen. It just says, like, KTC/2BR. And you're like, second bedroom? Second broom closet? I don't know. I guess I'll just flip all of the breaker switches. And then you go back upstairs, and the room where the power's out is probably back on, but then everything else is just blinking 12, because you managed to shut the power off everywhere. So, given that, don't screw around with anything that is more complicated than that. It's just you're asking for trouble. Squires Electric can be reached at 503-252-1609. So whether it's electrical wiring or Ethernet wiring, whether we've talked about the intercom system in your office, whether you've talked about smoke damage, fire damage, if it's a new house, if you're upgrading your system, you know, if you got a house, because a lot of houses in Portland have been around for, 100 years at this point, and the wiring there is a couple generations old, and it's just, you just never know when that's going to go hinky on you. It's something you don't really think about until it doesn't work. So if you need it maintained, fixed, or installed, you call Squires Electric. It's 503-252-16. Pardon me. I had burritos for lunch. 503-252-1609. You can reach them at SquiresElectric.com. Here's Dawn Taylor.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment for Thursday, right here at Legion of News.
Comedian Greg Giraldo died Wednesday at a New Jersey hospital from an accidental overdose of prescription medication. The 44-year-old, who was a frequent guest on The Howard Stern Show and a fixture on the Comedy Central roast specials, was 44. Fellow comedian Bob Saget tweeted the following: Greg Giraldo, love and peace, so effing funny. Giraldo had joked in a Comedy Central roast of Larry the Cable Guy, "Your fans can't even afford cable. They're not coming because you're funny. They've just never seen a cable guy. You could come up with other characters your fans have never seen, like Larry the dentist or Larry the librarian or Larry the high school dilemma." Giraldo, who also served as a judge on Last Comic Standing, had his family by his side during his final moments. Actor Tom Arnold is in rehab at the Betty Ford Clinic in California. The 51-year-old, who's been sober for 20 years, checked into the clinic to help him deal with his addiction to prescription drugs following emergency colon surgery. He spent over a month in the hospital after emergency surgery for a perforated colon, said his spokesperson. During that time, extensive pain and anti-anxiety meds were administered. His doctors advised him to go into a supervised, structured recovery rehab facility.
I can't believe I'm asking this question, but how did Tom Arnold perforate his colon? Do we know?
No, no.
That almost seems...
I don't want to know.
It seems like an appointment injury.
Yeah.
That seems like a Mr. Hands injury.
Yeah, that's... How does that happen? I don't know.
Okay.
Boxes of cereal created for Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Chad Ochocinco had a shocking misprint on them. An 800 number provided for a charity turned out to be a sex hotline. Resident Tara Sand says she and her family, including her 9-year-old daughter, called the number on speakerphone.
Let's see. For the love of God. All right. So people need to speak up.
I don't need anything to give our Bengals a bad name, especially Chad. You know, he's obviously trying to do something great by doing this Feed the Children.
I don't understand anything she's saying.
We don't need anything to give our Bengals a bad name, especially...
I think I may be playing the wrong soundbite. Let's say the other one makes more sense.
The idea just got tossed up to call it to find out more information. And that's what we came across.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thanks so much. All right, appreciate
that.
Wonderful. Okay.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan has settled his lawsuit with cereal maker Post Foods, claiming his likeness was used in the Coco Smashdown TV ad used to promote Coco Pebbles. Hogan's attorney, Joseph W. Bain, did not disclose the terms of the settlement, but he added that the commercial is no longer being broadcast and the suit has been dismissed. Sig Hansen and Jonathan and Andy Hillstrand are leaving the hit reality show Deadliest Catch, as all three crab fishermen are involved in a lawsuit with the Discovery Channel. We've been through a lot over the past year, and unfortunately, given the current situation with Discovery, we are unable to continue participating in Deadliest Catch. It has been a fantastic ride, and we wish the best to all the amazing and supportive Catch fans we've met over the years.
Now, do they say what the nature of the disagreement is?
No.
That's the same. Now, the Discovery Channel, as I've noted that, you know, the TiVo era has just, you know, I no longer know where anything is on, especially because it's not just that there's a big number of channels to track at this point. You know, it's the old guy thing of, why do you need more than five channels? It's that there's 100 channels that all seem the same in terms of their programming. But I think it's Discovery Channel that has Cash Cab, too, right? Is Cash Cab on Discovery? See, that's the thing, right? Or is
yes.
It, or is it on Channel?
No, it's on Discovery. Because so, I get it. Because I have, like, this weird cable that I just get. I don't get any kind of premium cable, but I do get a couple of channels.
Because it's on like seven or
something. Yeah, so
something.
It ends up just coming in through the tubes.
You know what I need to find is I need to actually find the audio of the guy saying, it's like a series of tubes. I have somewhere the actual soundbite that originated the whole series of tubes comment. But that guy, Ben Bailey, he was actually in some huge land war of a lawsuit with the Discovery Channel, too.
That's right, he
seems
was.
Like they have a bit of a... When we interviewed him, he had a few unkind things to say about them. But I guess they... I don't know, this happens to them a lot, so I don't know.
Well,
I'm
fairly sure the way they do business, their business model is we do these sort of reality-ish shows because the overhead is fairly
so
low.
So cheap, right.
You know, and then the thing is they become really popular, and it's time to renew these people's contracts, and they say, well... You're making millions and millions and millions of dollars. I would like more money now, too,
right.
Please. And Discovery Channel says, no. And then everybody has to bring their lawyers into it.
Well, and especially because with these, you know, like with the Deadliest Catch guys, you know, where it's like, you know, they're on some job or at any given moment, you might just lose a hand or something. So they, you know, they probably view this as a good time to cash in. You are listening to Legion of News right here, PDX.fm. This is your entertainment news, which will continue in just one moment. We should note that this entertainment news is brought to you by The Cleaning Solution. Mr. Michael Beatty, 971-533-3211 is his contact number. Michael Beatty, 971-533-3211. So if you're looking around your home and you just become overwhelmed with shame at the fact that you haven't cleaned your carpet, like, ever, perhaps.
Like me.
And I'm just, and I'm talking about the vacuuming. You know, because the vacuuming and the cleaning are two different things. You vacuum, you know what that does? That just gets rid of that surface layer. It's just the sort of lunar dust layer that sits on top. But if there's anything, I mean, look, we're all human here, so we've all had this experience where, except for those of us who are robots, who are busy creating robot brethren and kin for the eventual enslavement and overthrow of humanity, but we've all done that thing where you're vacuuming, and then there's like a string or a thread or something on the carpet, and you go over it with the vacuum, and it doesn't quite, you know, you can't quite pick it up. So you don't just pick it up and throw it in the trash. You actually pick it up and you move it so the vacuum can have another chance at picking it up, because you feel sad for the vacuum that it wasn't able to get it right the first time.
You're giving it a chance.
Exactly. So that's how weak and inefficient your vacuum is sometimes. So God forbid anything is even like a micron below the surface. It's never going to get out of there unless you get a guy who knows what he's doing to come clean the place. So your floors, your concrete, linoleum, upholstery, anything that your feet touch, you can make sure that it's clean and that it stays clean. 971-533-3211, The Cleaning Solution. Here's Don Taylor with more of your entertainment news.
Well, new on TV tonight at 8 p.m., we have new episodes of Bones, Community, Big Bang Theory, and The Vampire Diaries. At 8:30, 30 Rock. And later in the evening, CSI on CBS. The episode is called Pool Shark. The CSIs investigate when a shark reportedly attacks a woman in a casino swimming pool. The probe centers on whether the killer is human or indeed a shark.
Have you seen that thing in Vegas where there's the death ray being reflected off the MGM Grand?
No.
It's awesome. There's this new hotel whose name escapes me. It starts with a V. But apparently there's something where when the sun
the
comes
Venetian?
Down... No, it's not the... No, it's a new hotel. Oh. It's a place I'd never heard of before. When the sun comes down and hits the MGM Grand and it reflects into the pool with... Apparently, it concentrates and focuses the sun's rays in such a way off the MGM Grand that when it hits the pool of this new hotel, it's giving people, like, second-degree burns.
I did hear about
that. It's just awesome. I mean, it's just one of the best... And they interviewed this guy who, you know, area man, Chet, what's his name, who'd been burned, and he said the greatest thing. He goes, "It felt like I was on fire." I wish I had been recording the news. I don't have a clip of him saying it. I got to try to find it. It was awesome.
Well, if you check out this episode of CSI Tonight, among the guest stars are Elliot Gould and Method Man.
Really? Elliot Gould and Method Man?
Yeah.
They're on the same episode?
Yes.
Okay.
Also on Discovery Channel, an episode of River Monsters, Killer Snakehead, in which behind-the-scenes look at Wade's hunt for a snakehead, a dangerous fish that can reportedly crawl on land.
I missed the obvious. I should have done like an E-L-L-I-O-T man. Never mind. Don't worry about it.
I don't get that.
It's a little hip-hop humor, Don.
Well, that explains why I don't get it.
Laughs from the urban set. All right. Is that the end of entertainment?
Yeah, sure. Another real news before we go.
By the way, that snakehead fish isn't a rumor. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's just terrifying. Well, it's when they say that it's rumored to be able to crawl. It's not rumor. I mean, that's a thing. Like, I used to have a Google News alert set for sea monster, and then I had to turn it off because everything that filled... It was just filling my inbox with frightening images, and I was afraid to even check my mail in the morning. I should be like, what's waiting for me? You know, and it would just be some huge thing that, like, lives inside another creature's mouth or whatever.
Oh, got
that. That parasite thing. That was, I think, what got me to turn it off. The snakehead fish, that's no good, man. I mean, it's some demon creature. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show comes up at 1 o'clock. We've got the Snuff Watch today, Job Watch, Monkey Watch, Anna Griffin from The Oregonian, and we'll do the top five songs with Monkey in the title.
And today's pretty much your last day to apply for the Emerson Grant to get a free month.
That's right.
So if sometime before the end of the day you send us an email to me at don@rickemerson.com or a voicemail to our Skype account or just want to, like, send us an email, bribe us in some fashion whatsoever so you can get your name in the pool of possible candidates.
And somebody asked me if I would post that, and I will. I'll put that up later on at rickemerson.com. But it's 503-505-6964 if you want to leave us a voicemail at that number of no more than 2 minutes in length explaining why you or somebody you know wants a one-month subscription to the Rick Emerson Show, and we're going to be awarding 10 of those every month courtesy of our good friends at New Millennium Landscape and Maintenance. You can find out more at rickemerson.com.
And we'll be picking those tomorrow, I believe. So.
Yes, we will, Don Taylor. Let's do one more here, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay. Fisher-Price is recalling more than 10 million tricycles, toys, and high chairs over safety concerns. The Consumer Product Safety Commission said Thursday that two of the products being recalled involved injuries. In the recall of about 7 million Fisher-Price trikes and Tough trikes, toddler tricycles, the agency is aware of 10 reports of children being hurt. Six of them required medical attention. The trikes feature popular characters like Dora the Explorer and Barbie. They have a protruding plastic ignition key near the seat that children can strike, sit on, or fall on, leading to injuries that the commission said can include genital bleeding.
Legion of News!
Is what you're listening to right there.
On PDX.FM.
There you go. Fantastic. Like baby's first Corvair. All right. Legion of News comes to you each and every weekday from noon until 1 right here from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high atop the Milk Packing District in the heart of beautiful Southeast Portland, Oregon, via PDX.FM. We'll see you again tomorrow at noon. My name is Rick Emerson. Don Taylor is at the news desk. Advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill. Executive producer, Bruce Agler. And, of course, Chief of Staff is Cheryl Kunico. The Rick Emerson Show begins next at rickemerson.com. So thank you for joining us. We'll see you again tomorrow at noon for another episode of...
Legion of News!
On PDX.FM.